Session number 13142, rule 4.
Mr. Nunes, rule 4.
Yeah. Well, I was saying the Gordons have liberated the bank in Buchholz. That means to say they blew the door off and pinched all the money out of it. But it was German and Dutch money, so nobody really wanted it. They were lighting the fags with it. But I kept some back and I was able to spend it later on, you know. But that's what I remember, they were there. And then, I don't know, we went to Minden, I know, and we were at a place called Emsdetten. One of our platoons, and not my platoon, C platoon, went into Belsen, and I believe that they burnt the lorries after they'd taken the bodies. I understand, I wasn't there, but I understand that they put the lorries in a field and burnt them because of the, what do you call it, the...
contamination.
No, yeah, that's right, but there was just, I forgot the name of the illness, what it is, you know.
Cholera.
That's right, yeah, cholera. So that was it. And we were near to a place called Fallenbostel, and that was a prisoner of war camp, actually, and we worked there, you see.
Did you see anything of the POWs in Fallenbostel?
Yeah, we were taking people back from there to a place called Reiner, and that was an aerodrome. And they were giving them new clothes and they were going back. And some we took to a place by road where they went by train and ship called Gennep. You know, that's what we were doing then. I mean, the war was just about finished then.
Were these British POWs from Fallen?
Oh, yeah, British. Only British what I took. But there were Russians and all sorts there, weren't they? As well. But the only ones that I was involved with, that we were taking back, I mean.
Did you speak to any of the POWs?
I don't think so. They didn't seem to be. We actually got one, came back to our company, a kid called G. He volunteered. He thought he'd been captured since the beginning of the war. And he wanted to do his bit, so he signed on.
What condition did the POWs from Fallenbostel seem to be in?
Well, when I saw them, they'd all got new jackets and that, and a fellow with an overcoat on, you can't really tell. They looked all right to me, the ones that I saw. I know that it was a lot of people buried at Fallenbostel.
Did they seem happy or sad?
They didn't talk much. They didn't, you know, we just sort of got them in the back and took them, and we weren't supposed to have anything to do with them, I think there was, can't remember, never spoke to them anyway. No, we didn't sort of have any get togethers, but we weren't the first people to see them. We just sort of picked them up and took them to the aerodrome or to the railway, you see. And usually when they went, they'd all left, they used to throw the overcoats away, and they knew, they'd given them new ones. There used to be three or four, I don't know why. But anyway, that's what we did with that then. And if I've got it right, what happened after that? Let me think now.
Did you have much to do with the German civilian population as you crossed Germany?
Oh, yes. Well, you see, you were supposed to be no fraternisation. Bit queer, I can't remember when it altered, but I know the first place we went to in Germany really was Emsdetten. That's on the Dortmund Ems Canal, place called Emsdetten. And we used to, that was HQ. And then I think we were running about doing all sorts of odd things. And the war finished, and then, you know, I mean, you said, oh, well, it's finished, you know, that we're alive, hooray. But there was no celebration. We didn't dance in the streets, anything like that, because we were still working. But then we went to a place, I believe we went, the first place we went to was Bad Oeynhausen, I think, and then a place called Hereford. And when we was at Hereford, I know that whether we were supposed to or not, we did fraternise. And I know that there was a big brewery in Hereford, and that belonged to the army, and all the beer in Hereford, as far as we were concerned, was free. And there was a big dance hall there, and it was free beer at the dance hall. And we used to say, the only people allowed in was German women, and they had to be accompanied by a soldier. So they used to queue up outside to be brought in. But eventually the men came in as well. So they must have stopped the frat, you know, no frat pan. And like Bad Oeynhausen, and that was near to where the HQ were, where Montgomery's headquarters was at that time. And then, of course, we lost our lorries and we got these, what they call CEVs, captured enemy vehicles. And we became 17 Company T-Force Car. That was our title. And that was when we were in T-Force. And that, you know, sort of went on. The lads used to drive all round, and you never saw anybody. I just went to this. I went to a place called, was it Bad Niendorf, I think. Bad Niendorf. And took charge of this billet. And it was so boring that there was a, I think there was a battalion of the buffs there who were supposed to attack this area, you know, that they had in Betches Garden, if that was where they went, and they didn't. But there was a sergeant there who was a Hull chap, and I talked to him, and what I did while I was there, I taught, you know, in batches of about six or eight, I taught these infantrymen to drive the trucks, and I taught an Israeli corporal came one day, I taught him to drive a motorcycle, but I did that sort of job. But it wasn't my job, I just did it because there was nothing else, and the war was over. I know we used to go to Hanover and look at the motorcycle races and that kind of thing. And then we went, Army of Occupation, we went to Berlin, we was there about 15 months. But in the meantime, what had happened was that, because when the war was finished, you got this number 26 D, I think I'd got. And they said, well, the company's going to go to Manila or somewhere. So we're going to go back to England, and we're going to, this was before we went to Berlin, and we're going to train on these ducks, and we're going to, that there's like a vehicle that drives in the water.
D-U-K-W.
That's right. And we're going to do that. But anybody that hasn't got the time won't be going, you see. So we weighed it up and we thought, well, you know, the war's going to last a few more years now anyway. So I signed on for an extra year. You went to sign on because they couldn't send you abroad, so I signed on for 1 year. And of course they dropped the atom bomb and we didn't go. So we went to Berlin, you see.
What was status Berlin in?
Oh, it was like everywhere was sort of bombed, and yet there were some places that weren't, you know, you could get in. You know, I mean, there were quite a few of the theatres that were working, and I know we were allowed to go on all the transport, it was free, and all the theatres were free, and they were mainly, you know, Stars in Battle Dress people. I know I saw Donald Wolfe and all them people there. I went to see a bit of culture there. I saw Julius Caesar and that kind of thing, but only because nobody else's go, so the NCOs had to go. Medical. But I was amazed how good it was, actually.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, I did, yeah. It was marvellous, Julius Caesar, yeah. Tales of Hoffman, so all them things.
What was the attitude of the Berliners to you as occupation forces?
Well, the ones that we met, you know, they weren't any problem, really, you know. Because it was a sort of a jolly light. I mean, the war was finished, and there weren't a lot of the men about. We used to go... I know there's a river there called the Havel that runs through Berlin. And Havel Sea, they call it. And we had a lunch. Call it the Rascal, R-A-S-C-A-L, Rascal. And we used to go across from our sector to the French sector. And of course, we could get cigarettes and they could get wine, so we used to do barters. But on the French sector, it was all the officers' wives lived there. So they had the best place. But we were in, what do you call it now? The barracks where S was. Spandau. The first place that I went to, though, was called Siemensstadt. We were in the Siemens factory, and that was big holes in the wall and electric wires sticking out. Well, I remember they had a really good football field. And then, as I say, we went to the Spandau Barracks. Got a photograph of Spandau Barracks with all our trucks in.
Did you do any bartering with the Berliners?
Oh, yeah.
What type of bartering was that?
Well, I don't know. We used to get... we used to change cigarettes for money, actually, or else cameras. Everybody used to do that.
The reason I ask is because my father-in-law, who also comes from Hull, and who was in the RAF in Belgium at the end of the war, said that he saved up enough money for a deposit on a house from the selling soap and cigarettes to the Belgians.
Well, I didn't do exactly that, but I did have an experience. Like I told you, I got all this money from the bank at Bocholt. There was a lot of Dutch money among that. And, of course, we were in Berlin, but I still kept it. And then we came home on leave. I went home on leave from Berlin. I'd been there when they did it. And because I had all this cash, and I don't know how much it was, but when we're on waiting to board, there's a draft coming off. I believe it was the Dutch money, but anyway, I think, though, that it was... I can't remember the name of the port now. I know it, but I just can't... One Bremen, this side of Bremen.
Emden?
No, I put a longer name than that. But anyway, was it...
Bremerhaven?
No. I'll find it later on. But was at this port, and this MP comes off. Anybody got any Dutch currency, you see? So nobody said a word, you see. So then he come back again. He said, look, nobody's going to do it for it. We want some money. We've got to give these lads some money that's going. And, you know, if you've got any money, bring it forward. Nothing said. So I thought, oh, well. So I went forward and I took this bundle of money. Well, the kid on the bar, the pay fella, it went like that. Well, he never counted it. So I said there was, say, £300. He said about 150. But however much there was, I came back to Hull and I bought a cycle. I ordered a motorcycle at Jordan's in Hull. You know Jordan's?
Yes.
Well, it was in their window for about a year while I was in the army, and I paid the money, and it was an Area Red Hunter, and I got that with my money.
How much did that cost?
Oh, it was about £125, I think, in those days.
So he gave you £125 for this?
A bit more than that, actually. I gave him more than some of that.
But he didn't bother to count it?
Oh, no, he just... Well, I mean, I wasn't going to argue, because as far as I knew, it was worthless, you see. And, like, the German money, like, within not very long after that, was worthless, because I've got some... that they issued us with some vouchers, beer, baths. You've probably seen them. I've got some in there. And so I was fortunate there that I hadn't lit my cigarettes with them, you see. So, but there was a lot of people who'd won money playing cards and, you know, all the other sort of thing, and they changed it. But we got English money for it, off the boat, you see.
Did you come across the Russians at all in Berlin or Germany?
Yeah, the Russians used to come into our nappies. They always used to sit separately, though, and glare at you. But whether they, you know, we used to glare back.
So there was hostility with them?
Seemed to be. They didn't seem to be friendly. I have actually walked into the Russian sector by myself, and I'd be absolutely certain there's somebody watching you from every alley. Walked in the middle of the road back there. I won't tell you why I went in. But I did go in on another two occasions where we had to provide an escort, and it had to be an NCO with a Bren gun for the diplomatic mail to go to the airport, the Russian airport. And we used to check it there, and used to see this aircraft, but the times that I went, they just sent us back again, because he used to do that. He used to go to the airport, and every corner that he went, there was a Russian machine gun mounted wherever he turned. And he got to the airport, and then he used to stay there about 2 hours, and then they'd send it back again. Eventually it would go, but you never went the first time, and that's what they used to do. And the other, I mean, after that, I was doing the transport sergeant's job in the transport office, sending the vehicles out to get coal and all that kind of thing.
What were relations like between the Russians and the Berliners?
Well, I don't know, because they're two different sectors, you see. They used to come into our sector and we could go into theirs, but you didn't go in during the daytime, went in perhaps at night time. But we didn't work in their sector, and we didn't even work in the American sector. You know, we used to work in our own sector. I think our aerodrome was Gatow, I believe. We used to have a red ring with a black circle in the middle. That was a sign for Berlin.
That was a sign for the British occupation forces in Berlin?
Yeah, you had a sign on your shoulder. It was a black circle, black flat ring, covered by a red ring on the outside, Or a red ring with a black centre. Shall we put it? That's what we used to have.
And that was for all British troops in Berlin?
That was a sign for Berlin forces, yeah. I believe it's the same today, or was.
You were in Berlin up to 47?
Yes, because... Maybe to the end of 46, but we actually came back before I came out of the army. We came to Hamburg. We was in Berlin perhaps a year, 15 months, something like that, quite a while.
So did you ever come across any hostility from any German?
No. Yeah, I've never came across any during the war, actually. I've only ever come across any since the war. And that was at a place called Lindau on holiday. And that was young lads,
What was your attitude towards the enemy during the war?
During the war?
Yes.
You hated them, obviously, didn't you? But, I mean, after the war, I spoke to a chappy who was... I was going out with his sister, mind you, but he was a lorry driver, long-distance lorry driver in Berlin. And he didn't bear any grudge. I've met Germans since who were really badly wounded who didn't bear any grudge. I've even met a Frenchman who was injured in the North Africa when they shot all their naval vessels up. And he'd lost an arm. I've got a photograph somewhere, I think he was dancing with my wife. So I don't think, that the actual fighting man don't bear grudges, it's only politicians, isn't it?